Right in the beginning, a visit with Mr. Weaver, this barbershop session, and also a study session on the dogs. And this Tuesday morning, the 6th of February, 73, Channel 1 right on this long reel, this beginning of the barbershop session, with study session with Mr. Weaver, and he has that old car that's new, this Tuesday morning, the 6th of February, 73.
You know it. I mean, it's not now, but I mean, that's cold.
Yeah.
Cold calls that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I put that in last, Miss Reed. Let me get this stuff on. Well, no wonder I couldn't find the bucket. Get it all covered up.
You know, old fella bought these, Barber, bought this pair of shares way back in the 20s and paid a dollar for them, and they're 6 months. And he asked me to file. He didn't know how to sharpen shares, you see, and sharpen them for him. And when I went to sharpen them, you see, I noticed what kind of steel was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody had traded them in to a barber supply man, and he paid a dollar. And I just had paid 2 1/4 for a pair. And mine wasn't so good.
Oh.
And mine is new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I says, "You want to sell this pair, Sharon?" And he says, "No, don't know." I says, "What you give me for them?" I says, "You said you get." Paid a dollar for him, then he said, "Yes." I said, "I'll give you $1.25. He says, "No, I won't take that." I said, "Well, I'll give you $1.50. Then he wouldn't take that. I said, "What would you take?" He says, $2. I reached him $2 right quick. And I've been using them ever since, back in the 20s. But now they're longer than that when I first went to using them.
Oh.
I wouldn't give them for a new patch you can buy today. Just so, how much difference in old steel and new steel to what we get today.
Right.
Look how they're worn down, you see. You can tell how...
Yeah, I was going to say, were they made like that? They're
this much longer.
Well, what do you use, a file?
Yeah, I just take a file or I have a rock that I can just rub them on that way and sharpen. Of course, I know what degree to put it on, you see. I just take them in my hand this way and just take it on. Could pull it either way. I can rub it on a home.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. And you got to keep this here wire at the edge. If you don't keep that cut down, it'll get to where this here tightened. See, I used all the screw up now and it's worn to thin until I have to take a hammer to tighten it.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's no threads. I done wore it down. It's got to thin.
Sure.
But you know, they cut better now. And I have some new ones down, but they don't cut good.
They don't.
I think I give those I paid 2 1/4. I think I give more. They never did cut good. Never could get them before they'd work good. Now there's a pair of clippers. He got these for me, Mr. Mahon.
Mm-hmm. Now Rick did Julie and the Disidary story, and I worked over Ed Rush and the Bobcat and.
You did?
McClinney, you know. And then I picked up from McClinney and that thing into your connections round, you see. In that, you got thunder from this fella you swapped in that old Redbone, a young one, what it was, that fella from High Springs.
Yeah.
And then a little later, I said, "Miss Beaver, these dogs, I didn't know dogs, you old could run a fox." Why, he says, "Beauty was just 4 months old when she started." And then you got onto these puppies that you got let your nephew took out there that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they was from the two dogs that you had from Jimmy Price and the fella Goolsby.
You got mixed up there. The puppies that my brother took out were from from Red Gal, from this little red dog that done that good running over there. It was one of her puppies, an old Grady Higgins puppy.
Grady Higgins.
Yeah. That was one that my nephew, we took over on the run. The first picked up a fox track at 3 months old. Never been out of the kennel, and we had to run them down and catch them. They was going where we couldn't get them out, and they didn't know how to come back, you know. No collars on them.
Oh, that was a good... Yes.
That was way later after this other...
Well, now, that was the puppies of 3 months old that you put in the car there that day with old Sam.
Yeah, that was the puppies. Now...
They was the ones that was the litter that you got from Jimmy Price and Gouldsby.
No, Lilybell and Steve was the one that got from Jimmy Price.
Wait a minute. I got it wrong. The three litter mates.
Yeah.
That was on the race over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was Big Boy and.
No, Steve and Big Boy and Beauty and Penny.
Penny. Yeah, that's what it was.
And Lady,
that's what it
was. Well, Lady wouldn't run that morning.
Yes, and then it was the Great Hagen puppies that you.
Dear Frank.
Dear Frank. Yeah. Then I got it. But that takes it to Jimmy Price, and then to the White Horse over there.
Yeah.
Now you see
that's
what.
Way on, that's way that's before Jimmy Price is before this.
You see, I got to string it on something.
Yeah.
And what I stringed it on, you see, is how the dogs. Take you everywhere.
Yeah, how to run and how to bark.
Well, all the people, you see, that you get connected with.
Now, listen.
That's the way I sort of strung that together.
I ought to bark, and like every dog that did bark that morning, and let you got that on that there, too, me barking like those dogs bark. And all of them barking at the same time and just running for life. And I seen them coming, seen the old cat come way down, and I stayed still sitting in the road. Now, did you get through asking the questions you wanted to do?
No, I just waiting for you. I just listened to you.
Well, I was aiming to go back and come over that same thing again,
all right.
You see.
Go ahead.
You see, when we put them, you want me to go over the whole store and...
No, just go ahead where you are right now.
Well, I was standing in no road and they'd made a circle way back east and come back down through the scrub and back around and came up and...
And you heard them.
Yeah, and I could hear them all the time and I was standing, had my truck parked up behind this old road out in the... In the Goldberry Patch and Palmettos. So I could see almost a fort near to that grade out yonder. I seen that old cat come in the road, and I knew they wasn't far from where they was barking, they wasn't far behind him. And I started to move, and I said, if he looks up and sees me move, he'll turn and go somewhere else. I'm going to just stay still, standing at the back of my truck, right in the middle of the road. He got up just about for me at that cedar tree right out there.
Oh, that's just 34 steps.
Yeah. From me before he ever seen me as being still in my truck, standing there. And when he seen me, he just doing this way, looked up this way, but he had to move.
Well, he stopped stock still.
He stopped and looked at me a little bit, but the dogs were coming too close behind him. Mm-hmm. He jumped way out this way, and here they come. And I'll tell you what, so all the whole pack of dogs was much farther apart than this. Little Red Gal, my brother's dog, was in one rut, and Penny was in the other one, and all the rest of them looked like about 10 feet back. Right in there, Keep's dogs and Mr. Royce's dogs and my other dog were right in behind that cat. When Red Gal came to the place, and Penny, where that cat jumped out of the road, you know, they just put brakes on us when everyone was skidded. See him throw his head up and just turn to the right the way that cat went out the window.
Now, that was a grade road then.
That wasn't on the grade then. That was not old, just an old sand road.
That's what I mean. Ain't that a grade road? Sand road?
It wasn't sand.
It wasn't even graded.
It was just an old sand road you drive out in. That's where we'd get out to see them run, you see. They'd cross them on the road, you see. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't run on the highways in daytime much. And, see, we just left the highway coming from McIntosh to Ed Rush, right up that hill, right out there. Someday we have time.
Right, go ahead. They just put on the brakes.
They just put the brakes on, jumped this way, went right out in there. One of them barking, just some of them was barking this way. All different barks, every one of them was. And it's just like going to a big singing convention. When you have a big pack.
Don't tell me.
And you can't, and you see the fox and how he dodges, you know. See, that cat was going to see, he'd been a fooling a lot of people's dogs there. When he come to that road and run down that road, and Rasmus piece ahead, it took him a long time to work his track out in that road, you see.
Oh, yeah.
But they was close to him, and they didn't have any trouble. They could smell him in the air.
Yeah. And couldn't miss him.
Went on out this pond out there, and they stayed right in that real thick place, and he couldn't get far enough ahead to even start to leave that place anymore. And after a while, I heard them catch him. And I said, "Mr. Keep, you go right on dead, walked around, and come back around before I was at that." I said, "You go right through here, and I'm going to ride around on the highway and come back on the other side of that pond over there. You go through here," and I said, "Get to him as quick as you can." I said, "They caught that cat." And got out there. He was the one that was telling me about Mr. Rush's cripple dog.
Yeah.
The cat was sitting up on him fighting the other dog.
What dog was that?
That's Mr. Rush's cripple dog.
So that's a three-legged dog.
Yeah, he got his foot hurt. He didn't doctor it. He was old and didn't doctor it and didn't let us know. And we had went and doctored his dog for him. He was a good young dog.
What's that dog's name?
It's a young dog.
I don't remember his name.
Oh.
But you see, he was a young dog, and I've forgotten what he called that one.
You don't know where he got him.
Fella gave him to him, and nobody could catch him, but nobody would fella have to keep him a long time before anybody could catch him. See, none of us couldn't catch him. Oh. But Mr. Rush could. But he followed me on out there from about, well, it was about a quarter, half a mile, you know, from Mr. Rush's house where I turned loose at.
Uh-huh.
And I knew where the cat used, you see, myself. Well, Mr. Rush had told me that cat and McQuinney was telling him up here last spring, uptown here, about his cat, his only cat that he ever put his dogs after he couldn't catch it. Said, "Is that all right, Mr. Rush?"
Well, what trouble you think he had, Mr. Weaver?
Well, I couldn't
was
say.
Was it McQuinney or McClenny?
McClenny. He's not my tax collectors. He may be related to them, but he's a kind of red-faced fellow. He's in Gainesville yet.
Yeah.
And he was telling him last year about that cat, his only cat he couldn't catch.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. I got thinking, you know, I didn't think about that. That
well, how'd them other dogs go?
Which ones?
Out there.
His?
When they was running that cat.
You mean...
That's what you started out tell us, how they all went.
Over his barking?
Yeah.
Oh, some of them barked long. Oh, 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 oh. Some of them barked different ways, you see.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember just how all of them barked, but some of them was real far. And lady, one that didn't run the cat, I'd whip her, I imagine, for trailing a cat and put her after a fox one morning. She never would run a cat after that.
Uh-huh.
And I figured it, and I thought she was after a rabbit. And I didn't, I just brushed it a little enough to let her know that I didn't want to run that. I thought it was a rabbit in the bar patch, you see, and I thought she was, no other dog was helping her.
But you knew her bark.
Yeah, she barked, oh, oh, oh. And from then on, after I got after that morning, she run nothing but a fox. And after she got so far down with heartworms, wasn't no use treating her. I'd carried her two or three times a year or two, and the veterinarian said she didn't show any heartworms. She didn't show worms at all. Mm-hmm. I says, "Dr. Owens," I says, "I believe you're wrong on that." I says, "I've treated for everything but heartworms," and I says, "I know I've got that she's not worming no other way. But I want you to check with that." He said, "Ain't no use." Well, next year I carried her up out into, what was that other fellow's name? He died a year or two ago at Northwest Hospital. Whole Morgan used to be way back yonder.
Yeah, Owens the only one I know.
Owens, well, he's at Gainesville Little Animal Hospital. This is up by Whole Morgan, and then Owens, Owens worked for Morgan for a long time. Then he come down and opened up this other Owens did.
And he's the one that everybody knew.
Yeah, everybody knows him now, but I knew him all back then, back in the 30s, you see. I knew all the veterinarians then, you see, is up there in Gainesville. And Morgan is a good, he was from Texas, he's a good veterinarian. And all those fellas all right. And this one up at the north end now is a good veterinarian. He's one that that treated Lee over there. Mm-hmm. And he didn't think he'd live, said he never would run anymore.
Where'd you get Lee?
I raised him.
From who?
From Mayflower and, Lee is from Dan and Mary. A dog that belonged to, I'll take his name in a minute.
You kept the dog?
Yeah, I bred the dog to Dan, you see, and raised it. But Mayflower was the mother of Dan. And, mother of little Ann, too, and mother of Cookie. And she's my mama now. She's still living, the greatest mate. And Douglas Boyd's keeping, he called her Dusty. That wasn't a good name for a walker dog, but he called her Dusty. Mm-hmm. And she's still living.
Now, Douglas can't keep any dogs where he is up there now.
He can't? Well, I don't know where he can or not, because he's got some of them up down there up at High Springs. He got two that Cason that he hunts with up there. But Douglas has said the other day he's going to bring the other one back down there to me to keep for him, you see. He didn't say he couldn't keep it. I don't know why.
Cason, one of his friends up at High Springs?
Yeah, he left two of them. He asked me if I'd keep them. I told him I'd rather not do it, but I'd take the other one and keep it for him. That's Dan's mate.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, Cason.
But Dan is the daddy of one of these other dogs he had, you see.
Cason wasn't that fellow that traded you Thunder.
Mm-mm.
That was another
fellow. No, Cason's another fellow. I've forgotten that fellow's name up there that I got Thunder from. I'd got some puppets from the fellow, and he sold them to me. I think I paid him $5 a piece for them. To be half blue ticks and half beagles. And there's half vice and no blue tick and no beagle. And I let a fellow have one of them and didn't get no higher than that. And it looked dead like a vice when it got grown. And I was getting these other dogs, you know. I didn't want them. They weren't good enough for me, you see. They're not the kind of dogs I wanted to hunt with. Neither one of them didn't get no higher than that. And I gave one of them another puppy and went to tried to get a hold of the other fellow to give him one in the place of his. Because I'd let him have them to be half blue ticks and half beagles. Well, that wasn't treating the boys right. Sell them or something, and it wasn't that. And this one that Harry got out here made one of the best coon and possum dogs you ever seen, just about that high, and that's what he wanted at that time, and I didn't know it. But I done gave him another good dog, a good puppy for it.
Well, now, how'd you get Dan?
I raised him. I bred Douglas Boyd had a dog the name of, I think of his name, there's many names to think of, you know.
Yeah. But he is a good dog.
Yeah. He wouldn't run. A fellow in Gainesville had him, and he was a full-blooded walker. And he wouldn't run. And Doug always come to me and ask me about dogs, you know. And I says, if you can get there, he says, I can buy that dog for $30. And he's a year old and had never run nothing. I said, you mean that dog from Green? He said, that puppy from Green and Edwards, so the dog say order? And he says, yes. I said, well, I don't need the dog. But I said, you go ahead and buy it. I'll give you $30 if you don't want him. Bring him over there and turn him loose with just for your other dogs and let him alone.
Mm-hmm.
I says, they beat him too much.
Oh.
And I says, he'll just turn him loose with those other dogs and they'll be going out. First thing you know, he'll be running. Well, just a short time, he come up and I got over there. Here he come. He's ahead after a fox running. Head of his other dog, but that's just an accident. He is ahead. I turned two loose and never run before, and went right in there and run there. And one of the fellas from Gainesville, I showed him. I said, now there comes Frosty's his name. There comes Frosty right there. Now that's him right there. I said, that ain't Doug's other dogs, but all of them are just a little piece behind him. He just happened to get a little pickup on him. Here the fox come running and like to jump on one of my young dogs, and I never run. He run back. They began to holler, and I said, you fellas get quiet. These dogs don't know nothing about running. I said, let me handle them. Cat him on out there, and they went right on after Foxwood. These other dogs would, got there, and I said, "Mr. Pilgrim," I said, "didn't you tell me that puppy wouldn't run nothing?" And that was the first time I'd carried him out. I'd got him back from Mr. Pilgrim and swapped him another dog for him. He said they wouldn't run. And he went right on in there and run for 3 hours, and we caught him. And Mr. Pilgrim had to go back to James and tell the other boys about it.
Who was he, Mr. Raven?
He hunts with Edwards and Green and some of them, you know, up there in Gainesville.
Edwards,
yeah. They hunt together. They won't hunt with me, hardly.
Oh, they won't?
No. We don't hunt alike. My dogs go and get up a fox and run it, and they want to put theirs after it, you know, on the shortest track. And I turn my loose, they're gone.
Well, that's what McClenny used to do that?
Yeah,
McClenny used to do that too, and put one or two out to strike, you know, and let that.
Well, where did they get that system? That's what I told you. I thought that's what hunts us.
That's deer hunting style.
Deer?
Hunting up a buck's track.
Oh, they see it.
They put the dog after it, see, if you don't, they turn it loose to come across the door, they'll run it, you know, and it. And they don't hunt but just a short hunt, you know.
The deer.
I mean, deer run there. You can't run one down. It takes a heck of a good pack of dogs to run a deer down.
And you can go off and leave him.
Then he can run. He can outrun a dog, run off and leave him too. Somebody else will be on and put in there, maybe put in ahead if you cross by, and they'll put their dogs in ahead of yours, and yours not
well,
even.
Well, they'll see
him.
It.
Yeah, they kill it. They kill it. They won't. It's customary for them to give the man's dogs running it hay when they kill it. But they grab
should.
It up, and a lot of times grab the dogs up and steal them and carry them off and never see them. One of Doug's dogs, second year, well.
Let me tell you, that's old Joe. Is that your dog over there now?
Dan.
Now, let me see. That was this dog that
Doug had.
Doug got from
Green to that end.
Green.
Yeah.
That was Frosty.
Bred Mayflower. That she still
That
runs.
Was your dog.
Yeah. Mayflower was my dog, and she runs till she is. There's a place on her neck where it's large, and she's old. I wouldn't care and have it cut out, I'm afraid. And last time I carried her hunting, I had to run her down and catch her. She wouldn't quit. She just kept trotting.
Mayflower.
Yeah, and going on after the fox, you know. Mm. I caught her and told the other fellow to catch my other two dogs, catch Dan and Lenny.
Well, now, Dan has sired a lot of your puppies.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's
your head.
He's the oldest stud dog I have. They went to breeding to him when he was 8 months old. Somebody killed Grady. And Lindy the same day. And he came to breed to Grady Hagen. And he is the only dog I had that left. 8 months old. And I was going to get some puppies from that dog. And if he lived at Waldo. Well, he got to letting his dog run out and going down in the woods hunting, lived in the edge of town down in a swamp, and dog is coming in, and somebody run over and killed her. And he came down, he almost cried, told me about it. He says, if you ever do have any more puppies, says, I want one of them. I says, he gave me his phone number, says, call me up, I'm going to get one of them.
One of which puppies?
Well, one of mine for my dogs, you know, because he was wanting to breed to get Dan's puppies in.
Yeah.
And so that.
But he didn't have any dogs to breed Dan to.
No, he didn't have none then, but he wanted to get a puppy for me, you see.
Yeah.
And because he could register those dogs, you see.
Now that's up at Waldo.
Yeah, he lived at Waldo. 3 days, a week, I believe it was, about a week before, I called him and had some puppies, and to come down and look at him, pick him out one. He said, I just told my kennel down, we're not going to get any more dogs. Says, I appreciate your call. Says, we want them, but says, right here, we were afraid we'd get them killed. Says, we thought so much of that dog got killed. Says, we worried so much about it, we decided not even keep a dog. And a lot of things like that happens, you know, and raising your dog, just like you, your cow and calf. You know, this cow, her foot was so bad. She's still living, isn't she?
Yeah, she just had a calf yesterday.
Well, now that's fine cow. That's almost perfect cow.
Yeah, she is.
Built and everything.
She
you got a fair
I'd have been a great loss, and it looked bad when I came out here.
Yeah, she didn't have a calf last year. But Dan, is your head...
He's the owner, old, really trained dog I have right now.
Now, he's had some pretty good...
Those four white puppies are Lee and Judy and Dixie and Major. He's daddy them.
Was Frosty there, Mama?
Huh?
Was Frosty there, Mama?
No, Frosty was Dan's daddy.
Oh, Frosty was Dan's daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Frosty was a Jip.
No,
I got
Frosty
turned
was,
around.
Frosty was
yeah.
one of bred the Mayflower.
Oh, I see. Sure.
And it hurt me. I couldn't get Frosty from Doug. I didn't have the money. And I'd let him have dogs if he wanted them, and he could pay me when he could.
Yeah.
That was back when I was working, you know, and I could make money. I didn't have to worry about getting a dog if I wanted, but I'd got sick and got to where I couldn't work and couldn't drive a car. I couldn't even walk. And he so basically let Edwards have him for $50, and I'd have gave him $75. He offered to ask me $75 for him. I said, Doug, I can't buy him now. I don't have the money now. And I'd always been letting him just take the dog on, and he'd pay me as long as he could. You know, he was working. But after I got down, he wanted to swap that dog, and he wanted the money to get a red dog. The other boys talked him in to get some red bones, and he did get burned up. And I swapped him one dog for one of Dan's puppies back. I guess I'm jumping too much.
No,
you just go right ahead.
Well, that's right.
Best to get on one store and tell the whole story.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, old Doug got burnt on them red bones.
He got burnt plumb up, and he had swapped me one of Dan's puppies back, and she was as good as everyone in the woods for a dog that didn't run that I'd got. Took in, fellas owed me, and I took this dog in on what they owed me, you see. And he had offered to swap even. And you know what I did? I wouldn't treat him that way. I says, Doug, how much booty you want? And his dog was worth $100 anybody's money.
Mm.
So that... Oh, he said about $25, $30. I said, here it is.
And he was going to swap even with you?
Yeah, he swapped and swapped even with Edwards, and Edwards' dog wasn't half as good as that one. Frosty, and he asked me $75, and Edwards just had to bound up this page. See, he said he'd done promised Edwards that dog, you know.
Well, now, that was a red bone that Mr. Rush had, or you had down at Mr. Rush's.
Yeah, that red bone that I got from...
That this fellow McClenny, that fellow from High Springs swapped for. Now what he want a red bone for?
For a tree dog.
Tree dog.
To run coons. He swapped me a Thunder because he wouldn't. Thunder wouldn't run coons good. You know he is a half walking, half trig, and they've been bred for fox and cats. You know, and same running dogs. You see, and he didn't like Thunder. I didn't even look at Thunder. Yeah, I believe I did. He had him in the cart. I believe. I said, well, I tell you, I just come in from hunting. I said, tell you what you do. You go and over at Mr. Rush's and see Mr. Rush and tell him that if you want that red bone now, he's a good-looking dog. But he'd been whipped for running fox, and when there'd be a running coming by us, you know, if he seen anybody, he stopped and went way around, went that way, and of course, he'd been whipped for running fox.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted him to run nothing but coons, you see. Well, he had a good dog, but see, Mr. Rush and Mr. Williams from Jacksonville, Hunter Williams, they didn't like that because he couldn't go around him, you see. Wouldn't come on by him. And I'd let Mr. Rush keep him to hunt him. So I swapped, he went on over and he swapped him, Mr. I didn't even hear that dog run.
Well, did Mr. Rush, did he hunt coons too?
Well, he did, but he had several years back.
Yeah.
His dogs all run coons or anything.
Oh, did they?
And he had dogs, you know, he had a Negro working for him over. I looked after his dogs and fed him and kept him like the coon hunt, and he let him coon hunt with his dogs.
Any of them?
Yeah. And
so he didn't have just what you call fox dogs?
Not all the time. Now, this doctor from Carolina came down, and he had all these mixed-up breeds of dogs, you know, and tree dogs. He went back up in Carolina and said, I'm going to send you a couple of puppies. And he sent him a couple of registered walkers down.
Yeah.
And one of them turned out to be as good a dog as there went in the woods, and the other one was a cutter, wooden pack. When the other dog would catch up with him, he'd cut around and run around and get in front. That was all he'd do. Well, listen, you
well, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Who had Williams? He said he'd call when he got through, got the thing done.
Williams? He had a place over here that kept his dogs as property, but he lived in Jacksonville. He's been dead several years. See, that's...
Oh, he lived in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he did live in Jacksonville. He's dead now. Been dead 10 or 15 years.
He kept his dogs...
Yeah, and the fellow kept him, looked at him. He had a little farm over here at Fairfield, and he'd come over here and every weekend to go hunting.
And the fellow on the farm kept the dogs for him?
Yeah, on his farm. He owned the farm, Mr. Williams did.
So
I never hunted much with him, because they had two little class of dogs. I didn't
so
like
him and Mr. Rush would hunt?
They'd hunt some together, you know, and Keep hunted some with him. Keep him and Keep him
Emma?
And Frank. See, Emma and Frank's brothers, you know. You know, don't you know Emma?
Mm-hmm.
I know you know Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know him.
Okay, here we go.
Let me get into this here. I've got to go. I don't want that fella to come and leave if I can help it.
We'll get you over there.
I'm beat you today, Mr. Weaver.
Now, I can talk a week or two on your civil hunt. You know, so many people don't like it. I try to watch it. People don't like you talking about dogs and hunting. I don't like it.
Oh, they don't want. They want to talk about nothing, do they?
Yeah, well, a lot of them want to talk about something they like to talk about. Not just me talk all the time.
Stand that on the rig.
I don't believe I bought a pen. I can fix this.
You want me to get you one, Mr. Weaver?
I think I can fix it around this collar.
Yeah,
I'll get it.
I got one upstairs. I'll get it.
Yeah.
That's all right.
This, I think this will hold. This way I fix it in like that down on the shirt, it'll hold pretty good. Like that.
Now, you're looking at that light?
Now, I'm going to just cut you one side of it today because I can't see out of
well,
my
that's,
eyes.
Well, that's that'd be better than nothing.
I'll just cut one side of it today. It's pretty good out there. It bothers me. That's my best eye, and I can't see a thing out of the day out of it.
Yeah.
It's easy if you spread that a little bit. You forgotten how you do that?
I maybe did turn it on. Or push it down. There you go.
Look at there.
Now, you want to just put a bowl up here and do it quick?
Yeah. You don't need cutting on top.
Oh, time. Yes.
Yeah, I'll cut it a little shorter this time, then. Let's see. Did we leave these here, or did we cut around this way, or thin it?
Well, we do it both ways.
Well, let me try it this way this time.
But generally, we just leave them.
Well, I'll leave it. See, I pull that down there, and I'll leave that a little bit.
Just leave that.
For you.
It don't seem like you're leaving much, but it's all right.
Is that high enough? Yes, <he can. laughs>
Who's next? But we, hi, let me tell you.
You know how people get talking about that. You know, it feels so funny. I turn in and get this on the heel, and I go up and ask him to find it. You learned my hand. He started to and caught himself.
Well, I tell you what. When did you first know about this little car that you got now?
Oh, when he first got it, about 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, don't tell me.
Well, I know, but when did he bring it over there?
Oh, as last...
Yes, Tuesday.
Thursday.
You mean it's been over there all this time?
Yeah.
You know, they go over there and check in on you, but they don't leave a note. They are illiterate.
I tell you what, you put your notes, if I don't come out.
On the kitchen door?
No. Put on that cedar tree out there, where at there,
Which tree?
That's out there at the front.
Oh, where the runs come out?
Where
the wires down?
I'll tell you why. If someone comes up.
Oh, I see.
Some of the dogs, one of them was out of the pen the other afternoon when I came in. They get to barking out over at the front and these in the pen. Sometimes they get out trying to come see.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not there, I'm afraid someone will run over them see if they get on the highway.
Sure.
And I always look out there, and if someone, if they're not coming in, I always go to the door right quick, you know. And if somebody, they know, I can just, if I'm out to talk to them, they won't try to get out.
Oh, you mean if we come over there,
yeah.
Come up from the front.
Yeah,
And don't bother the dogs in the back.
Why, you can almost tell from the way they raise sand. They raise sand that I'm not there.
Oh, yes.
And if they don't bark too much out there, you might not say that I'm that. Because they'll look back and see if I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can watch the dog, and he'll look back and see if I'm coming. If I'm not there, he may not look back very much.
Yeah.
But he'll bark much more than he will if he does, if he's not there.
And they put their hair up when you're not there.
What's that?
They put their hair up when you're not there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You can tell the difference yourself. I bet you all noticed it when I was there.
Well,
they know when I leave, they watch me, and sometimes they go to howl, and if I go to leave, and I go back and have to make them shut up, you know, because if mine barks, you know, sometimes some of them kicks about it and gets after me about it.
What,
Mr. Weaver, they didn't always bark when they could just run loose. People come around.
Not as bad. They're all dogs that were just one man handles them will bark more than they will.
Well, up there in Alabama, you could just let them run loose.
Well,
they
I turn
them
loose. Yeah, if somebody come up, they'd bark and let you know this coming up.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah.
It's just an instinct in them to do that.
Yeah.
They'll let you know. I can tell from the way they bark if it's a dog out there passing or if it's someone out there stopping. I can tell from the way they bark. The sound of the bark.
Well, last Thursday, Mr. Reed, when this fellow come up, was you expecting him?
Yeah. he seen me Wednesday when he got that and told me he was going on if he got that car, that he'd come back and pick me up and carry me to Gango the next day.
Oh, in the car? In the new car?
No, in the old one. And go up there and put that, and sign it over, that car over to me.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
And I says, I can't do that. I says, I don't have any money to buy it with. He says, I didn't say anything about money.
Yeah.
And so that he says, I'll be here now if I get that other car.
Yeah.
And I could tell he is kind of like, there's something that's going on that he didn't especially like. He never talks much. He's a nice fella.
Yeah.
And come find out this time, trying to make out like there's much wrong with this car here.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in the count, wasn't worth anything. And he said he'd rather give it to me and said, let them have it.
Yeah.
Said he didn't want to give, offer him nothing for it.
And that's on Wednesday.
That was Wednesday, and he came back then next morning and carried me up and signed the papers over to me.
Is that right? And you drove this car?
Yeah, he drove this one. He's using it. He said that I could drive a long time without having work done to it. But I'd rather, as soon as I can, I want to have it fixed. I don't want it.
Well, that may not be how much wrong with it, Weaver, except those loose bolts.
See, I can get out and pick up a little job of work, you know, and every once in a while and work a few hours. I can never get my hand where I can use it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I have a lot of people that like to get me to do their carpenter work for them. And I can't charge them like I charge them because I can't do enough work. And I'll just work a few hours at a time and quit. Some days I work 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I go to think I'll work and get the job, I just turn and drive off. I have to go back to the house.
But they think you ought to just go ahead and finish it.
No, most of them to go along with me. Sometimes they get in a hurry and think it. I tell them, I said, I can't do that. Just like I'd like to. I said, I'd like to work 10 hours a day if I could.
Whatever happened to old Lady Hennessy? She's still around?
She's still around there.
Yeah.
She has a cancer.
She still writes you notes?
No, she speaks to me now. She wouldn't for a long time.
She wouldn't?
Uh-uh.
She wouldn't talk to you?
She'd write him letters.
I got some letters that I could make her wish she hadn't wrote me, so I would say, but I won't do it. It wouldn't do me no good. But if I reported her for writing those letters through the mail. you can't write
Mr. Weaver, who was old Sam that you had with you that time when you took those puppies out with little Frank?
That was a dog that Frank had got a hold of from over here at Rochelle, I think. He was a pretty good deer dog, I think.
Yeah.
That's all that man old Rochelle, I think all he ever really hunted.
Yeah, well, he's right there in the deer reserve.
Uh-huh. Well, he's a nice fella. He didn't want to feed him all summer and he gave him to Frank. He had other dogs too he liked better. But he was a pretty good dog. Wouldn't.
Is Wirt Carter about as good a hunter around in the country here that you hunted with?
Wirt Carter's as good a hunter as I ever hunted with.
Oh, really?
He had some of him those. Think of the name just a while, that over there around there, they had dogs that way back in the 30s and in the 20s. They had registered Walker dogs in. I mean,
oh, did they? Mr. Carter, too?
Mr. Carter, he won second state field trial up there in Tallahassee.
But well, that
about two or three years ago, and I think it's the same stock of dogs I got. They would never tell me.
I'd
ask
them,
right? Where did you get the dog? Where did you get that good stock of dog from? See, I let them have needles, and I used to get some puppies from Chuck that hunted with Wirt Carter now, and they never did let me have my puppies, but they all got dogs from them. Then Williams and them come over there and bought six puppies from me one day, and wanted the other two, and I told them I was going to keep two of them for myself. And
just a couple of weeks old?
Two months old.
Yeah. Is that as young as you need to sell them?
Well, you can sell them younger, but it's best not 8 weeks old is the best. You can take them at six. I don't let nobody have them at four. Some of them will take them at 4 weeks old, but it's too hard on the puppies.
Yeah. So, does it stun them?
Yeah. Sometimes it does, but a lot of times it does. I'd rather keep them a little longer and let them so they can be sure and have good puppies.
You know what Mr. Carter said about you?
Oh, you can't tell about these fox hunters what they're telling. They're on each other.
Now, he didn't tell me. He told Rick. Rick went up there and something or other talking about you. Why, he says, that old man, that old Mac Weaver over there, he says all he does is talk about dead dogs.
That's about like him.
He says, I don't want to talk about dead dogs. I mean, he talks about all of them, don't he?
Yeah, it's kind of like I was up in Alabama and I'd sold my dogs one time. I was trying to buy some for that, and we'd go hunting. He'd price them, I'd reach them in the billfold, pull out the money to pay him. He'd say, well, just wait and let him rest up, and says, come back over and let's go another hunting. Tell me that there for about a month. And I was trying to get these dogs. He eventually let me have one of them. and I never did get the other one. So that we were wild running, you know, and some of the fellas would holler when their dog would happen to get a pickup, you know, and then run over and then they'd bark first, you know, on the pickup, they'd say, "Come on," and call his name. I was lying back over by the bar listening, you know, after a while I said it just as solemn. I said, "Well," I says, one of them says to me, he says, "We talk to our dogs," says, "and they get a pickup right away. We talk about them," says, "do better, we'll do that." And I says, "Well, I'll tell you, hey, for a man, boy brags on his dog, to know that he's been dead 2 years before he brags on it. And after it's been dead 2 years, be sure and look around and see if anybody had ever heard that dog grunt. Then," I said, "brag on it." Everybody laughed, you know. I said, "Then everybody, see, when we are waiting on the dogs to get a fox going out of the way, we have a fire build up there in Alabama, you know. You can't follow them like you can down here. And it's cold." So that we tell jokes and kid each other while the dogs are hunting the fox. And keep each other awake, you know, from going to sleep.
Well, down here you don't talk, you just follow.
Oh, they do down here too. They talk and get like word caught or talking about a dead dog.
They generally brag a little bit on things they've had, their dogs and their
hunting. Didn't the other fellas put you out of business? I hope y'all get these jokes now. I like to tell jokes too. I can make them just about as fast as the other fellas can.
Yeah, you can, Mr.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be pretty easy to joke with Wirt Carter. He seems to be right there waiting for you.
Yeah, he don't care for it. He likes to joke. I tell you, good known working and a bunch of them, they had such good dogs, and I was getting the first pack. They wouldn't go hunting with me. They was hunting Mr. Rush and Robert Williams had some little, you know, Robert lived over here up on the hill out close to the station before we were left.
Oh, you mean he used to have dogs?
Yeah. So John McCray and Dizzy Dare and all of this hunting together, you know, and I had some young dogs.
Yeah, back in the 30s.
Yeah, first of the 30s. So that, they was going to have a big hunt down there this side of Citra, and there's people from Leesburg coming down there and running. Well, there's a bobtail fox down there. This is a good story. And he had run anybody's dog 12 hours. Well, there's three, and most of the dogs had run out and quit. Couldn't stand it. Well, they all met and went the night before. They told me, and I didn't get to go. Well, I kept trying to get a hunt with those fellas, with my young dogs, you know. And they, I want to see what they do, and they wouldn't any of them go. One night, Dizzy Dare told me if I'd come back about, if they're still running at 4 o'clock the next morning, if I'd come back before he had even pick him up, he'd go over there. Well, we went over there, and when it struck, my dog struck it. His young dog struck the fox and jumped it and run 200-300 yards ahead all night long. Not a dog they had quit either. 4 o'clock, I went back and got Dizzy Dare, and I didn't tell him anything. We got back down there, little old John and Julia was way ahead, and held it till after daylight till 8 o'clock, and they treated it the next morning. That was my two dogs. I didn't say nothing. I just loaded the dog, come on, carried him back, and put his dogs out, and carried John's dogs back to him.
John McCray?
Yeah. Well, they couldn't understand that, you know, and they got Ed Rush the next time. They did the same thing all night long with these other dogs.
Well, you and Dizzy Dare, then next time you got Ed Rush.
Yeah, and Ed Rush and Dizzy Dare, then they told Work Carter about it. Work says, "Tell you what you do. And you all come over and get old Major and Happy next time." That's his dog's name. And Dixie. They did that, but Work couldn't come that night. But he told him, "So you carry those dogs. They're a little faster than these other fellas' dogs." Next, we jumped the fox, and all night long, the same thing, John and Julio had. And I wasn't saying nothing. I didn't tease none of them. I didn't say anything.
You didn't have to.
So that here's the way their dogs are larger than mine. We works as Teddy. We were carried down yonder door with Sam Hill and see, and it's open. Says those little dogs can get through the get through those thick better than our dog can. We carried down there and see what they do. Well, work couldn't go, you know, and they carried work's dogs back to him. Says, well, how did it come out? He says, those little old dogs here out running worse down there in the open woods than did up there around Citra. Says, those little old dogs here did. Work told me about it. You know, he's a good sport, you see. He told me about it, you see, what they said. And I still hadn't said anything because along the line of women, I was afraid to say anything, afraid to lose next time.
Superstition with me, like I am.
You got not dragged too much, you know. If I'd have went outside, my dogs hadn't done nothing, they could have killed me then.
Well, I know this is going to work out on my haircut, but it's interesting. Now, what dogs was it you had? John and
Julie.
Oh, that was Julie. Now, who was John?
John's Julie's mate.
Oh, was he?
One of your old...
Yeah.
That was back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back in the 30s. Now, that's... See, I can tell you lots of hunts we was all on together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and had John and Julie, and they never did lose. That little Julie dog never was defeated.
Yeah.
I quit buying dogs. I tried to buy some dogs to run with it. I never did find one could. Her mate couldn't run. It got to where he couldn't keep up with it.
John?
John couldn't keep up with Julie. She'd run ahead of him. He'd stay back in the pack.
I'll be done.
And what got everybody, you couldn't give it to nobody when they looked at it.
Oh, yes, yes.
You couldn't have the dog I told you, you know, until I tried to give away.
Yes.
And then everybody tried to buy her after he had run.
Yeah.
I never seen a fella wouldn't offer to buy that dog after she'd run.
Mm.
I tried to give away. I was a sucker, too. And I'd run the razor.
Yeah.
I didn't raise her, but I got a fella paid man to raise her for me in Alabama. I didn't have time to fool with him too much, and I'd rather...
Well, they raised her out in Alabama?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was up there, and I left her and had some puppies that whelped up there. I'd swapped dogs and got one that was already bred, you know, and I gave a good coon dog for this one, and she was supposed to run a fox, and you wouldn't run nothing but a rabbit when I got. But I got those good puppies from her.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got those good dogs out of
there. That's where Julie came from?
Yeah. That's where Julie and John came from.
Well, who was Julie's mama? That fella had the dogs?
No, she was up there not far in Alabama.
Oh.
I swapped dogs up there. A fella got me to buy him a coon dog, and when the coon season's over, he didn't pay me for him, brought him back and said he didn't want him. And I took him up there in Alabama, swapped him for a fella wanted a coon dog.
Oh, I see.
This dog's supposed to run a fox, but she never would. She run rabbits.
Well, now, who was it? Who was it Mr. Carter had, them two dogs of his?
Dixon, Happy, and Major.
Well, you raised them.
Dixon, Happy, and Major, and the others couldn't keep up your dogs, and he thought they could.
Yeah, he was a little faster than them, and so he told me what they were doing then. See, I knew what they were doing. See, he was trying to get these other dogs. Some dogs would run with John and Julie, but they couldn't do it. These two dogs would outrun theirs every time, and I mean run the fox, not cut. They wasn't cutters, they were just fox dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept them till they're 7 years old, those two dogs.
Cutters?
And they still hadn't been defeated. And the dogs that I bought to run with them couldn't outrun them.
Cutters, Mr.
Wheeler. Quit the track when that dog catches up and
turns
around and picks
it
up a head over down. If you don't get away out of town, he won't bark and run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just quit and then catches up with it. Babblers one barks when he don't smell it on following another dog.
Why?
Babbler. That's called a babbler.
Yeah.
I don't like to hunt with the fellas got babblers and cutters. When I get a hold of one, I get rid of it right quick.
Yeah. Well, what do? Give it to somebody else?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they'll hunt it.
Give it to somebody else or either take it way off somewhere.
Yeah.
Let somebody off, right? But they don't want to mine with them, you see, it runs.
Yeah.
Get some of them to follow him around.
Yeah.
Oh, where Carter said he just knocks him in the head.
Well, I can't kill a dog. I've tried to. I've had him. I knew they were going to die, and I'd try to kill him. Try to get in the dark and kill him. I can't do that.
Hmm.
I don't like to kill him.
What good is it going to do you to get in the dark?
So I couldn't see it when he was shot it. And I tried to do that, and I couldn't.
Hmm.
He don't either, Mr. Weaver. Where Carter don't kill dogs.
He just says he does.
You reckon?
I don't know, Work. Some people, some of them does. Some of them, I know, I seen a lot of dog bones piled up in North Alabama one time. Well, we was hunting one morning there, and they said there'd been a many one died right here. If they quit and wouldn't run, weren't any good. They just cut the throats and left them lying there.
Hmm.
They said they didn't want nobody else to get stuck with them.
Is that right?
See, you take and sell a man a dog and tell him it's a good dog, and it's not.
He remembers that. Now, let me tell you, that y'all hunting around here now, that was Mr. Carter and you and this there, and these other fellas from Citra, was it?
Weaver boys over Citra, I hunted a lot
Yeah, you mentioned them. You got a dog from Kermit Weaver.
I got two from him, and then I let him have them back. And I got two from him, and I took a job over in Gulf Hamel to carpenter work, and I had to go where I'm staying. I didn't have nobody to feed my dog. I could have carried him over there, but I didn't know it. And I started, got my car, and I started driving, got about a block from the house, and I met Kermit coming, wanting to buy him back. And I let him have him back.
Yeah,
because I was going off on a big job, you know, and I couldn't carry my dog. I didn't want to carry him, and I had nobody to feed my dog.
Now, that's the same time we were talking about, the early 30s?
Yeah, I was back in the 30s.
Is he still maneuvering?
No, he's the one I hunted with mostly is dead. Now, Gilroy and Alwyn's still over there.
Yeah.
They've got some stock of dogs out there.
They kin to Kermit?
They're his brothers, Joe's the youngest one, and Alvin and Kermit. Kermit one died. He's one I hunted most. He and I hunted near like them the other two boys did.
Yeah.
Joe came over and got one dog from me, and Alvin brought his dog over and bred to Grady and got some puppies from them.
That's a queer feeling, isn't it, Mr. Weaver, when you think about all these fine people you've hunted with, and now they're...
Nearly all of them are gone on. Work's left, and myself. We love to go any time, you know. Our time's done out.
Work's got that boy of his over there worrying now.
Which one?
Jack,
is he staying there with you?
He got fired and everything.
He did. You drank too much? He used to drink last night.
He drinks more than that now, apparently. Wirt told me, I went over there with Rick. I didn't go to talk to him. I just went along. And he said on the way to the car there that he was pretty well tied down now, this boy. He told us all I know about it, didn't he, Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Told us right there all at once.
That's right.
Yeah. And he said they told him about it so much, you see, he worked for Florida Power, the telephone company or something. And they kept him on as long as they could, and they just had to tell him one time he's going to have to go to Alcoholics Anonymous somewhere, and he said he wasn't going there to Alcoholics Anonymous. So he hadn't worked since. He's been right there with them. And Mr. Carter said his mama, Ms. Carter, just about had a breakdown. It was so hard on her. Now, she's a right quiet woman, ain't she?
Yes, she is. And fine lady, and Work is, too. I'm surprised that boy is doing that way. He used to hunt with us a whole lot, you know. And he had some good dogs, too. I think most of those dogs did belong to the boy. Work may have just given to him, or...
How many boys he have?
I see. Seemed to me like he had two boys and one girl.
Yeah.
I think is what he. It may have been just one boy and a girl. Mm-hmm.
Now, if he goes out, what'll he do? Like you do, he'll just take the dogs out and turn them loose somewhere?
Yeah, let them go.
And then watch them, listen to them, and then if they get to running, he'll try to go over there where they are.
Find out where they're at and find out where they're at.
Yeah. So he's moving it right smart. That's Well, now, when are you going to get the other side of my head, Mr. Weaver?
Next week.
Okay.
You've been lying one-sided.
Yeah.
You had on the door.
Yeah.
It's making it hard on me today by cutting it.
Well, let me tell you, I lie on one side all the time, so don't worry about that. I'll just lie on the other side.
I just said that. Just kidding. You know, if you don't kick a little bit, you'll have to cry.
Well, I can't get over this Lennon man just coming up and saying he wasn't going to let them people beat him out of that car, was he?
Yeah, I don't know what. He seemed to. He'll tell me maybe later why that he did that. I don't know. Because I've been trying to find out.
Well, all you found wrong with it was that oil leak.
Well, I found that. Well, he told me about that. He said it'd take about 2 quarts a week, but he drove it every day picking up laundry.
Oh, he worked in that?
Yeah, he drove it every day, you see, picking up laundry.
Well, he knows how it runs then.
What'd I say?
He'll know how it runs then.
Yeah.
He must know it's pretty good.
He told me to start with. He said, now you can go ahead and fix it. And he says, hey, but just like it is, you can run a long time, you just have to add a little oil to it.
Yeah.
And I seen where it's leaking and everything, went tightened down. I'm not going to spend too much on it. Well, I can't spend anything right now, but if I can get pick up a job or two, then I'll have it fixed. I mean, if it don't cost too much, don't I? Just run as long as you run and do like he did.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to have a little money in your pocket, ain't it?
It sure is. It's not nice like mine. I got a little bit of change.
Now, Mr. Weaver, what about that?
I didn't have to pay some more on my insurance today, but I just had to pay 1 week, so I had 2.5, and I didn't have it. I make 6 cents left.
Yeah.
What about what you said to me yesterday?
What did I say?
You remember what you said to me yesterday?
What was it?
When I came in?
Oh, I had to borrow $100. She wouldn't lend me $100. I tried to get it to you.
Well, some people are sort of close, Mr. Weaver.
Well, I figured maybe she'd like I was. She didn't have it. Well, you take when he was had that operation, and I went up and fixed that porch for him. I didn't charge him for that, you know, and all the things I did. When I was
did he live there in Michinoka?
He lived at Aradonda.
Aradonda?
Way over there towards the...
Yeah.
Towards the...
So he came and got me, and all it cost me was just my time, you see. And they didn't have the money, and I knew they needed it, you see. And that time I was working some, and... So they asked me how much the old man I fixed his porch for him. I said, nothing. And he hadn't forgotten it. So even when I get down the tide, he helps me. He got my laundry for at $1 a week, you know. He didn't ever charge me too much back then when I was sick and couldn't work at all and had nothing coming in.
Did he like dogs?
Well, not especially, but he goes along with them, you see. They have pet dogs.
Oh, yeah. Just city dogs. He lives out there towards, I don't know what you would call that now. The old, What's out there?
Archer Road.
Oh, out the Archer Road?
Yeah, our diamond's on Archer Road.
Oh, yes.
I used to do a lot of cotton work up around there. Out that round.
I thought Ardonda was in between the Archer Road and the Newberry Road.
No, Ardonda's right on it.
Okay.
Right on the Archer Road.
How far does he live?
You know where Interstate 75 is? About a half mile, I think, a mile down the road towards Archer from 75.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes, sir. Comet Weaver and,
Kermit's dead.
And, the fellow Williams, who had the farm over there, and the other fellow kept his dogs.
No.
He worked in Jacksonville.
No, Kermit Weaver and I hunted together. He had his own dog.
Yeah, he was Citra. Yeah. But this other fellow Williams, you're talking about.
I've forgotten the fellow's name. Stayed on his farm for him over there. I didn't hunt much with him.
Where was that, over toward Fairfield?
No, over at Fairfield. He lived over right at Fairfield.
Yeah.
Between Fairfield and Lowell.
Oh, what did you think I said?
Home assassin. What did you say?
Home assassin.
Did you say home assassin?
Yeah.
I thought that's what you said.
And,
I ain't doing no good. I'm not going to like where these heads cut me.
Let me tell you, I better turn around a little bit. Well, so you can see. Senator Edwards, he never hunted, did he?
Who's that?
L.K. Edwards.
No, if he did, I didn't know it.
He's always too big round.
You know, he was a good man to do business with. I bought all his milk cows for 3 years one time that he had. He had raised milk cows and selling them.
Yeah, well, I just think.
Oh, brother Darius, you turned the wrong way.
I just thinking about the people that you,
Wait, go ahead.
That you hunted with.
Oh.
Now these,
He'd let me hunt on this property, and I think he let Carter, too, for what I know.
Yeah.
See, he had all that property in there for going back to work.
Now look, Mr. Weaver, none of them people over there around Shiloh, like, Kelly Pardee and old Chitty and all them fellas, they never did run dogs, did they?
Chitty does. One Chitty over there does. But Pardee never did. But he come in there and called me up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Bobcat to catch his chickens out there when we got that run them.
Pardee?
Yeah. I was sick. I couldn't even go hunting there. I couldn't even walk on. I told him he'd carry the dog and turn him loose.
You told him he could take him?
Yeah, but he wouldn't do it. He's afraid he'd lose and didn't want to have to hunt him up and bring him in. I'd caught lots of cats out there before I got sick, you see.
Out where?
Out there around Pardee's and all around Flemington. All in there. All from here to McIntosh, all back in here.
Well, who do you know out in there? About there, from Pardee's on out towards Flemington?
Cecil Pardee lives out there, and then his brother lives on farther on over there towards Flemington.
I don't know his brother.
He lives on back out west of the Flemington Road there.
Oh, yes. Miles?
No, it's not Miles. You say Miles Nixon.
That's right. Oh, I know, yes, who his brother is. He lives across the road from Miles.
No, not his brother. He lives on that other road going from back in there from where Maxie lives, on that road going to Flemington. Party there.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Chitty lives over there on the Forks Road going from that road into the highway going from here to. He hunts. I've hunted some with him.
Which one is that?
Monroe,
is that right? Monroe. Well, he's the only one of them I don't know.
He lives where that great road comes
from. I know where he lives.
Right in that fork of that road.
Yeah. How far back has he hunted?
I don't know just exactly. I know he'd hunted just a little bit less. Two years ago, I hunted some out there.
He grew up in the 30s. He started to work in the 40s. So that way, he wouldn't go very far back, would he?
No, I never did hunt. I've hunted a lot, and he's heard my dogs run out there. I used to hunt. Ed Russell and I used to hunt a great deal out there.
Yeah. So he'd know you was out there.
Yeah, he knew me. I knew him ever since he was a little bitty boy. I used to buy backbones, old-fashioned backbones from his daddy back in the 30s.
Old man Frank?
Yeah. he'd saw them down, fix them just like the old country style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have him save me every time he butchered, save me a whole set of backbones, sometimes two.
Yeah. If my hair holds out, we'll get somewhere here, Mr. Weaver. Now, old man Frank,
this ain't quite long enough right here. Sure enough right here.
He didn't go in for dogs. Old man Frank.
Keep me cat look just like I want it. I'm not going to try that.
You know, anymore. Frank, don't leave that there. Don't leave that there.
Leave it over on this side.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Let me tell you, just let it go, Mr. Weaver.
Right here, I'll get this one.
You know, he was 50 years old and married a girl 16.
Who's that?
Frank.
Frank Chitty?
Old man Frank, yeah. You've heard of people like that?
Yes, sir.
Old Bill Guthrie was 50 years old, married a girl 16.
16?
But he lived to be 90, so they did pretty well.
Yeah, done pretty good. And you know, he worked on up till he was past 80.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Mr. Guthrie did.
But you didn't know Mr. Frank Chitty.
Frank Chitty, I knew Frank Chitty. I knew all those Chitties out there. There's some of them moved down to Ocala.
Oh, did they? Well, Frank farmed, you see. He's lost his health there in the late 30s, I think. And by the time of the war, he wasn't able to do anything. Is that right?
Frank Chitty?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was old, Frank Chitty was.
Yeah. So he had all them boys, and he oughtn't have had to work anyhow, oughtn't he?
No, it didn't look like he's able, but he done a lot of work after he got old.
Yeah, had to, I guess. They never did have a house to live in.
They didn't?
No.
Frank Chitty?
You see that house they live in now. That's the one they lived in.
One that one of his boys lived in it?
Yes.
I think the one that they first lived in is tore down. I'm not sure.
It burned.
Burned?
Yes, it was a nice big house.
Yeah.
It was give to him.
It was?
Yes. And after that, you see, it burned in the 30s, somewhere along there, and after that, see, they broke. Nobody could build anything after that.
No.
If they broke, if they had a little money, they could do a whole lot.
Yeah, but you think back at that time, there wasn't much money floating around.
No.
Wall Street got through picking everybody.
Yeah, and got picked itself then, didn't it?
I know, they picked me. They picked me on that last go-round.
Yeah. Yeah.
That 90-day holiday bank business, and I had bank stock. That's the hardest thing you ever had then.
Oh.
Why did you say you used to go hunting just to keep your mind off of your troubles? Did you say that or somebody else?
Well, it's good to keep...
After that bank holiday.
It's good to you to do that. I was hunting before that bank. I had more dogs before... When I was able to work, I had me a good pack, 12, 13, all the time, running dogs.
Before the bank trouble?
Yeah, that's when I had John and Julia and those dogs back in there.
Oh, it wasn't in the 30s?
It's here. When that bank, when they closed up the bank?
1930.
I had two lots in Gainesville, and... built a five-room bungalow and make an open, sold it on Egypt. let them pay me $25 a month on paying for it. And they like $550 have me paid for it. And when the banks closed, they took that $550 of my mortgage. I don't have to collect it.
Well, that cuts you down on your hunting, Mr. Weaver.
Cut me down on everything. All the world I had.
You couldn't hunt hardly any after that, could you?
No, I was able to work, and I could work and make more money, you see, and hunt. Little, I didn't. I hunted some along then because you take business I was in, didn't last 12 months in the year all the time then.
The fur business?
Fur business and produce business, you see, I was in that, too.
In the 30s?
Yeah.
I thought you barbered all through the 30s.
Barbered part of the time. I hired someone to run the barber shop. I got barbered part of the time.
Oh, how long did Mr. Wynn stay?
Well, he was the man I first went to working for when I first came to Florida.
Yeah. Then he got out of it and just worked Saturdays.
I bought his place.
And
he bought a shop.
And then he got into something else and worked.
He was already in the pressing club business and tailored. Taking orders for suits of clothes, Mr. Wynn was.
He done better at that than he did from barber.
Yeah, well, he made some more. His hard to make a living anyway then.
You could work, but you couldn't collect for it.
You could work, yeah, you could collect for it, but it didn't get much. It's 15 cents for a shave and 25 cents a haircut. Didn't amount to much.
Didn't go far.
And then you had to pay your furnish all your equipment and everything coming out of that.
Let me tell you, when you come out of the Army, you weren't exactly a healthy fellow.
Couldn't wear a shoe in 90 days.
That long? Would your foot swell?
How?
Foot swell
up? Feet broke out in places. Big your hand on my leg. Yeah, just worse than this year.
What did
worse.
That?
Huh? I don't know what it was. And I didn't work in 6 months after the first car.
Well, can't they give you something for that?
Not now.
What did they do to you then?
Wasn't in long enough. And see, they passed a rule back in the 30s. Got a bill through to all that hadn't filed a claim before.
But they must have done something to make you break out.
I don't know what it was. We never did. I never did know. The doctor never did tell me. Yes, we just didn't know what happened, but I know I've got to be groomed. Let me see what time it is.
Let me tell you.
I'm not going to try to cut hair like that at 1 o'clock.
I tell you.
You want yours cut?
No.
You had those vaccinations in the when you was in the Army?
I'd been vaccinated for typhoid and malaria and smallpox before I went in service, but they don't pay no attention to that. They vaccinated me again.
All over again.
Yeah, all over again, and I couldn't take it. It just broke me out all over, and this arm swollen up here, and my hand is sort of spreaded this way, as black as it could be, when I left the service. I ought to get something for it. I thought, you know, I'd wait, and I'd, if they got to where I couldn't work, and I needed it.
Yeah.
See, I'd already saved up me a little money before I went in service, you know.
Oh.
And I was getting along pretty good, you see. And see, I farmed 1 year after I had to register. When I registered the 5th of June, I just started work that year for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a good crop that year and sold it. And paid out everything I'd owe.
When's the man you going to meet that fella?
Around 12, 1 o'clock.
Let me tell you, Mr. Do you need your car over there?
Yeah, I better carry it there because I don't know just what will happen.
I tell you, you going over there so you won't miss him.
Debbie could just drop me off and I'll bring your car over and she'll take you on over.
Let's carry me over while let me carry the car back up there.
Well, you already passed time.
Well, if he's going, you see, I'll have the car there then. I can go back down there if I want to.
No, you go on home.
Well,
and
I can't
Rick will go over there and check on the car.
I'm going to do that.
That's going to take your time.
Well, I'll just miss him.
Well, you don't want to miss him.
I can just bring your car over, Mr. Weaver, and I'll find out what Eddie said about it and to tell you.
Yeah.
Miss Rita, you let Debbie take you home, and I'll go over there with Rick.
All right, let's go.
I'll go over there with Rick and we'll see about the car.
I said I'd go in there.